Genesis 19, verse 22, beginning there. Haste thee, and of course the angel is speaking to Lot, actually to Lot and to his family. But he says, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I'm drawing from these thoughts what Jesus said in Luke 17:32, something that's said of no other person. Of all the people the Lord could have said this about, of all the people that could it could have been referred to, this is the only person Jesus said this about, that in Luke 17:32, the Lord said, remember Lot's wife. As we just read in Genesis, the Lord rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And as Lot and his wife and two daughters were leaving, she just could not help in her mind, and she longed to look back. She hated that she was leaving. Her heart was still in Sodom and in disobedience. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. It cost her, listen, it cost her her life because of her love for Sodom. Sodom is a picture of the world. Sodom is a picture of somebody living as they please. Sodom is a picture of someone who does what they desire with no regard for what the Lord says. The world is rampant with that kind of people. All across our land, all across this globe, there's people who say, I don't care what God wants. I could care less what God says in the Bible. I'm going to do as I please. I'm going to live my way. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to do it the way I want to. But I want to say, one of these days, this world will pay. And just like with Sodom and Gomorrah, when fire and brimstone fell upon that place, the place was consumed, but the people were consumed. And I want to say, there's judgment coming. There's judgment coming upon the world we're living in. We've looked last week at Sodom's path, Sodom's power, and Sodom's price. Could I mention today Sodom's punishment? Through these verses, we find one thing for certain. That is that man cannot sin and get by. Sometimes we think we are. Sometimes God will be long-suffering and merciful, and there'll be a span of time when it seems like everything's going okay and I'm having a good time, or things are getting along pretty good. But sometimes, some way, punishment's coming. The payment of sin will come due. Before I changed the sign out front, it said that the wages of sin is death. Repent before payday. We find in these verses that time, the time of judgment came. Look back in verse 12. Let's look at these verses just a little bit this morning. Verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Notice, For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Could I say that there was a warning before the judgment came? God warned them, judgment is close. Punishment is coming. My first point this morning is the warning of God is clear. We've read the verses. That's not hard to understand. What these angels said, what God said, was very clear. It was obvious. He said judgment is coming. Punishment is coming. He says very clearly, I will destroy this place. I want to tell you, again, there's judgment coming to this world. God warns them it's coming. And throughout Scripture, He warns us, even in our day, I believe, that there's a judgment coming still. That there's a condemnation that's coming upon the whole earth. Jesus says in John 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Listen, if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. The Lord in that verse is talking about the Antichrist. And I want to tell you something, friends. This Bible talks about a time that is coming to this world. It's not just going to happen in the Bible Belt. It won't happen just in our country. It'll be worldwide. It will include everybody who lives on this ball called Earth. He warns us. He warns us. Remember Lot's wife, he says. Judgment was coming. Condemnation was sure. But he in mercy warned them. Shouted the warning. I think he does that again today. The warning of God is clear. There's coming a man called the Antichrist. He will head up the world government. The one world government is coming. I am amazed every time I look at the news and see the things our politicians are doing and how many dumb decisions they're making. But when I analyze what they're doing, there's one thing that keeps coming to my mind. It must be this way, for they're making decisions that are idiotic and dumb, but they're leading us to what that Bible says. It's like God is saying, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Remember Lot's wife. The warning of God is clear. The Antichrist will come, and he has seemingly the answer to all the problems of the world. Will you agree with me we're in a world of problems? Will you agree with me that our world needs somebody who has an answer? Somebody who can fix this mess? If it's going to happen, it's going to take some things. It's going to take selfishness to begin with. People who are willing to do anything it takes just so their life will be a little easier. And by the way, that's how many politicians get their name scratched off or checked in the voting booth. They promise man what they want to have. They promise them what they think they want. And so many times elections are based on people who say, who will give me the most? Who will make me the biggest promise? What can I get out of this? Moral rights, moral standings, what they believe, what they stand for, doesn't even come to mind seemingly. But it's what is that man going to do for me? What can my government do for me? We've already seen the selfishness. For a man to be able to come and take control of the world, there's going to have to be some people so selfish that they say, whoever he is, if he can make my life better, I'll follow him. We are at that point today. if this man comes and takes over the world, if he's going to be the one world leader, it's going to have to be some problems. The problems are going to have to be so bad that people get desperate. So desperate that they say, if anybody can help me, I'll follow them. Just normal problems, just normal issues. If life's running pretty easily, if things are going pretty good, the average person will say, I'm not going to believe that. I'll not follow that man. But I want to tell you, when you get so desperate and things get so bad, if somebody promises you the answer, you'll listen. And that's where we're at today. Things are getting so bad that people are getting desperate. And it's at the point right now, are you listening to me this morning? Right now, that if somebody would come and could fix the mess we're in right now, people would flock to them. And that's what's happening. The devil's working, but so is God. I'm talking about the warning of God is clear. Just like God said, I'm going to destroy that place. Get ready. It's coming. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can delay it. It's coming in the same way this world is for certain under condemnation. And judgment is coming in the way of the tribulation period and an antichrist and a time of misery and woe like we've never seen before. You think it's bad now? You think it's bad on earth? Have you watched the news lately? Earthquakes, wars, murders, hatred, envy, strife. All these things, as bad as it is, it's nothing like what's going to come. I've tried to magnify. The warning of God is clear. But could I say number two? The wrath of God is coming. Look in verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants, the people of the cities, that which grew upon the ground. Everything in these cities perished. Everything in these cities was consumed. Fire and brimstone fell from heaven and burned it all up. You know why? Listen to me. Because God was angry. There comes a point. There comes a time when God, as merciful as He is, as long-suffering as He is, as kind and as gentle and as loving as He is, as compassionate as He is, there comes a time when His compassion and His mercy and His grace runs out. And as loving as God is, also, that's how pure He is. And God cannot tolerate sin. God cannot ignore sin. God cannot shun sin. And there comes a time when His anger is poured out on sin. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had put up with it as long as he was going to. And wrath of God was poured on that place. It's what's going to happen to this world. It's what's going to happen to the earth you're living on right now. It's what's going to happen on your street. It's what's going to happen in our neighborhood. It's what's going to happen in this area. It's what's going to happen in this country, in this world. There's no place you can run to. The wrath of God is coming. The tribulation period is certain. It is coming just as sure as I'm living. Matthew 24, verse 21. Then shall be great tribulation as was not since that, listen, which was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. It says it's a time, listen to me, that has never been this bad before and never will be this bad again. That includes all the things we could list. The Holocaust, linen, all the 911s, not a drop in the bucket to what we're talking about. I'm talking about worldwide judgment from a holy and angry God. He says it will be so bad, it will be worse than it has ever been anywhere on earth or ever will be. Revelation 6:17, the great day of His wrath is come. The Antichrist comes promising peace. And for 3.5 years, there's relative peace. For 3.5 years, it seems like He's doing what He promised. But then everything falls apart, and condemnation and judgment comes. Joel 2:11 says, the day of the Lord, listen to this, the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide it? The day of the Lord, that's what I'm talking about, is very terrible. That word terrible in the Hebrew means dreadful. Dreadful. And the conclusion of the verse says, and who shall, or who can abide it? That word abide has the thought of calculating. In other words, he says, you cannot explain it. It's so bad. You can't even imagine. You sit down and think of every bad thing you can imagine. You think of every tragedy, every condemnation, every judgment. You think of everything that's ever happened in this world and compound that 1,000 times. You can't even imagine how terrible, how dreadful this time's going to be. It's coming. It's coming. It's sure. The warning of God is clear. The wrath of God is coming. It will be so bad that people will try to commit suicide, but God won't let them die. Can you imagine trying to slit your wrist and the damage is there, but you don't die? Can you imagine people trying to hang themselves, but somehow they live through it? Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Listen, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. We're seeing it, folks. Have you watched the news at all of all that's going on in our world? And the Bible says, when you see these things, know it's about time. The warning of God is clear. The wrath of God is coming. The angels said, Lot, judgment's coming. And there's not a thing that can be done about it. It's too late. But could I say number three? The will of God is crucial. Lot couldn't do a thing about the judgment coming. It's too late. God had already decreed it. He says it is coming, and there's nobody on earth that'll change it. But when Lot heard that, in his life and the life of his family, there was one thing that mattered. One thing that made any difference. One thing that they had to keep in mind, and that is, what is God's will for me now? Judgment's coming. I can't stop it. I can't do a thing about it. But what does God want out of me until it comes? The will of God is crucial. Now, I want to tell you, judgment on this earth is coming. The Antichrist, I am convinced, is alive and putting his plan in process right now. Not a thing in the world I can do about that, neither can you. But until it happens, until he does step out and take over. And sooner or later, tribulations start. And all the judgments that I've mentioned and many, many, many more happens to this world. My question is this: what does God want out of me? Now, the church won't go through the tribulation period. The church in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, come up hither before the judgments, before the condemnation, before the Antichrist. So we'll be gone if you're saved. We'll be gone if you're saved. But until then, what are we to do? How are we to live? Remember what the angel said? In fact, let's look at it, verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither. Listen, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. The Lord himself said to the angel, I can't bring judgment until you're out. And that's a picture of us as a church. And the Lord said, judgment's coming. But before it comes, I'm taking you home. The Bible says that God has not appointed us to wrath. Revelation 3:10 says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the whole world. That's talking about the tribulation period. But again, I go back to this point. Until it comes, I'm in this world that's sealed for judgment. I'm living in this place that will be condemned. So what am I to do? The will of God is crucial. What are we to do now? Can we do anything now? For us who are alive, for we who are in this building, what is God's will? When he comes, it's going to be too late to do anything, that's for sure. When he draws us out of this world, if we're saved, it'll be too late then. You see, a warning is something that gives information, bridge out ahead, that informs you of a danger ahead in the future. But there's more to that warning than just giving us information. The information is supposed to be processed to where it changes us, to where we do something about the information. Bridge out, slow down, dummy. Turn around, dummy. A warning. The angel warned them. It's coming. But this warning's not just to inform you, Lot. Not just to give you information your neighbors don't have. It's to make a difference in your life. Now, for Lot, it's too late. He'd waited too late. He'd squandered his time. Because when he got the warning, it's just about time to go. The Lord just sort of nudged me and said, it may be that amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah, amen. It may be that close for us. Amen. If you're here this morning and lost, I wouldn't leave this building for anything in the world before I got saved. The will of God is crucial. What can we do? Number one, what can we do? What is the will of God? Number one, confess our wickedness. I mean by that, we've been made aware this morning that there's a judgment coming. And this world we're living in will be condemned. This world we're living in will be judged. There's coming a 7-year period of condemnation and judgment. Later on, it's going to be burnt up, by the way. But there's judgment coming, so what am I to do now? If I'm in True Gospel Baptist Church today, what am I to do now? Number one, confess our wickedness. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. It's coming. It does not matter if you're 2 years old or 200 years old. It's coming, and we don't know when, and neither do you. The devil will tell you to have a good time. The devil will tell you you got plenty of time. The devil will tell you just go and have a good time and just enjoy yourself. I want to tell you the devil wants you in hell, and if you're not careful, you'll go there. Judgment's coming to this world, and judgment will be poured out on those who are living. If you don't want to go through what I'm talking about, you better get saved. The only escape plan is salvation. That's why Lot got out. That's why his daughters got out. They knew the Lord, and he pulled them out. If you don't want to go through tribulation and face the worst judgment you've ever seen in this world and then end up going to hell forever, you better confess your wickedness. Really admit to the Lord that you're a sinner, and then you know that. Confess your wickedness. Get saved. Secondly, what can we do? Not only confess our wickedness, but we who are saved need to continue our witness. Lot had an opportunity to witness to some people. While he was in Sodom, as bad as the world was, he had an opportunity to tell some people about Christ. I thought about this. Abraham prayed about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he stopped at 10. God said, if there's 10 saved people in that city, I'll spare it. If Lot had just gone in there and won just a few people, the entire place, humanly speaking, would have been spared. Try and ponder that a little bit. But Lot wasn't witnessing. Lot was living selfishly. Lot was living for himself. And I'm afraid that's what we're doing. We're forgetting about lost people. We're forgetting how people in this world, there's people heading to the condemnation, to the judgment I've been preaching about. They're heading there just like a locomotive, full steam ahead. It is coming. There's not a thing in the world that can be done about the judgment, but something can be done about who's left here for the judgment. Some people can still be saved. So we as God's people need to continue our witness. When Lot went to his sons-in-law and his daughters, you know what they said? Are you joking? He went to them and told them about judgment coming, and they thought he was joking because of how he had lived. They had watched Lot's life. They had watched Lot's wife's life. And when he tried to witness, when it got serious, and he knew time was running out, and he tried to witness, they laughed at him. Because they said, I didn't even know you were saved. What God are you talking about? Is that how people look at us today? We need to kind of cleanse, and we need to confess our wickedness. We need to continue our witness. And then the next thing we can do, we need to cleanse our ways. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Could I just say it again? How different would it have been if Lot had been living clean, living right, if he had been a light in the darkness? How much difference would there be if Lot was living clean? Friend, I want to tell you, if there's ever a time when we as God's people need to live clean, it's now. I know the difficulty. I know the flesh. I know the struggles. But if there's ever a time when somebody needs to say, I want to live for God. I want my life to be clean. I want to stay right with Him. I want to be pure. I want to please Him. I don't want to give in to the flesh. I don't want to go to the world. I don't want to play games. I want to serve God. I want to walk with Him and let my life count. I want to live clean. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, listen, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, listen, in this present world. The world is wicked. The church is cold, to say the least. But the Lord said, even in this world, in this day, the answer is, me and you saying, God, I want to live clean. I want to live right. His grace doesn't just save us, but it equips us to live right, to help us to live clean. What can we do? The will of God is crucial. What are we to do knowing that judgment's coming? Confess our wickedness. Make sure you're saved. Continue our witness. Tell everybody you can. Cleanse our ways. Make sure you're clean. And then lastly, conquer our weakness. Look in verse 17. The story is sad. the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and those people, it's sad. The sons-in-law and the married daughters perishing, it's sad. Lot's wife turning to the pillar of salt, it's sad. Lot having to flee with his two daughters and go out eventually into the wilderness, that's sad. But that's not the end of the story. Look, beginning in verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. That's pretty clear. Get away. Don't stop. Don't look back. Escape to the mountain. Get away. You would think Lot would say, that's all you got to tell me? I'm gone. I am gone. But listen to what Lot says. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to thee to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? Can you believe that? I can believe it. Lot knows that judgment's coming. He knows Sodom and Gomorrah has had it. They're doomed. The angel says, get out and get away. And Lot said, I don't mind leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, but go out into the mountains and live in the wilderness. Don't you have a better plan? Now, there's a small city. It's a small city. It's not like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not wicked. It's not that bad. It's a little bit better than Sodom and Gomorrah. Let us go there. That old flesh is still pulling on Lot. He still has a weakness he hasn't conquered. You want to know what happens? Briefly, Lot and his two daughters go to the city, can't stay there. Ends up in a cave. And his two daughters make him drunk, sleep with him, and both of them get pregnant. One of the daughters, through the incestual relationship, have a son named Moab. The other daughter has a son named Ben-Ammi. Moab is the beginning of what's called later the Moabites. Ben-Ammi is the beginning of what's called later on the Ammonites. Listen, both of those groups were the enemy of God's people. They were God's people's enemy because Lot said, I'm just not ready to really get right. I just can't let it go. I just can't turn loose. I'm talking about there's a judgment coming. There's judgment coming. You can't do a thing about it. It'll be on your street. It'll be in this world. It's coming. It may be that close. The Antichrist may be finalizing his last plans right now to step out and take over. But while we're here, number one, you better make sure you're right. Make sure you're saved. Number two, make sure everything's right with you. If there's any weakness in us right now, if there's any flesh that we're giving into, if there's anything about us that's not completely committed to the Lord, we ought to get it right now and say, if I don't turn loose of it, I'll pay. Moab paid, and the Ammonites paid, and the Israel paid. The devil will try to show you the world, show yourself. Sometimes people go all the way to the world and find themselves in the far country in the pig pen. Sometimes people's like Lot, they're just not in God's will, but but they're not living in Sodom and participating of all the filth. But I want to tell you something. If I was here this morning, I didn't know I was saved, I'd get saved. If the Lord spoke to my heart at all, because I'll tell you what, from all I can see in this world and all I can see in that Bible, things are coming together. And you don't want to be here when the tribulation period comes. You say, I'll get saved. No, you won't. Bible, I won't take time, but the Bible very clearly teaches that those who have heard the gospel and rejected, God won't even give them a chance to get saved. In fact, He will deceive them, or He will make them believe the lie, the deceptor. So my point is, if you're not saved, now's the time. If we're not right, while we can still do something about our Sodom, we need to get right. Let's stand together. Will you please mind the Lord as He's speaking to your heart? I am convinced there's somebody here this morning who needs to be saved. And I promise you the devil will do everything he can to keep you from getting to this altar and accepting Christ. Because he wants you in hell. He wants you here during the tribulation period. He loves it when people hurt. He loves it when people do wrong. And he wants to see you burn in hell forever. And if it's up to him, he'll make sure you're there. But you don't have to. If you'll come and say, Lord, I believe you. I know you died for me and rose again. I accept you. I turn from my sin. I believe you right now. I'm giving you myself. The Lord will forgive you and save you. I'm convinced there's people here who are saved. Friend, I tell you, we've played games long enough. We've played along the border long enough. We've straddled the fence long enough. It's time to realize our time's running out as far as helping this world or living for the Lord. Father, please speak to hearts.